Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We've got an email here from Tom M.
Hi, Ben and Nathan. I hope this email finds you well. I have a question regarding character and fitness and how that might affect scholarship offers. For context, I'm a 31-year-old prospective law school applicant. I have been studying with the Demon for a while now and love everything about the program, as well as your general advice and strategy towards law school applications / scholarships. My undergrad GPA is a 4.05. Thank you, A pluses. Wow. Okay, nice work. I have not taken an official LSAT yet and don't plan to take the test and ultimately apply for law school until my scores are 165 plus. Tom, I hope you shoot for higher. Man, yeah. You have a high GPA. Don't waste it.
Yeah, let's be honest. A 165 would make your GPA sad. Your GPA, I mean, a 4.05 is way better than a 165. 165 is like, okay. I mean, I think, Ben, we have, I think, often talked about this on the show. It's kind of like the minimum that anybody should go to law school with is a 160.
Yeah, and so you're 5 points above that.
It's not that great. Like, there's so many 170s, and your GPA could open the door to Harvard, Stanford, Yale, and your 165 would just slam most of those doors shut, I think.
Immediately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom continues, my ideal law school is the best possible one I can go to for free. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So definitely shoot for higher or don't settle for a 165. That's all I'm saying. In 2011, I was convicted of a DUI. Later that same year, I was arrested for possession of marijuana, but ultimately the charges were dropped. I've had no legal trouble whatsoever since, although this feels like a lifetime ago to me. I am curious if law schools might feel differently. How much of an effect, if any, do you think this would have on admissions / scholarship offers? Is this something that might vary from school to school or be more of an issue for higher quality schools? As for my explanation on an application, I was thinking of simply writing exactly what I told you in the first three sentences of my second paragraph. Is this sufficient or do I need to go any further?
It's two separate issues.
Yep.
I don't know. The DUI was in 20, they were both in 2011. So we are talking about something that was more than a decade ago.
I like how it's so quick. Like, you're going to talk about bad shit. Let's like get it out there and get done.
Yeah.
I also like that it ends with, I have had no legal trouble. I don't know if I'd say whatsoever.
Don't say just whatsoever.
I've had no legal trouble since, period. It let the fact do the heavy lifting, not the whatsoever.
How about and something the time? Like, I have owned my mistakes. You know, I regret these mistakes and I have had no legal trouble since.
Yeah, but I would keep it very short. I don't want to like overstate your
regret.
It's
just an edit to that one sentence, yeah. Just to say, yeah. Get rid of whatsoever and add, I regret my mistakes and.
I regret my mistakes, comma, and I've had no legal trouble since. Yeah, I think in the explanation, because schools are going to require an explanation that works. I am curious, Tom was arrested. Some schools, do they ask for arrests if you weren't convicted?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, if you're required to disclose arrests, which you probably are, do include that. And I think that that works. As for your question, how much of an effect, if any, do you think this would have on an admissions / scholarship offer? I really don't know. I think you just have to do whatever you're going to do anyway, which is apply broadly and let the schools decide for themselves how much of an effect they're going to give it.
It's an interesting thought. It's something that I haven't considered before. I would love to know anecdotally, you know, if there was some way to quantify this, we could even consider adding it to the scholarship estimator, lsatdemon.com/scholarships, right? There's if we had a way to get the data. But
so hard though, because each of these are circumstantial, right? Like, okay, you were convicted of DUI.
Yeah. I agree that at the very top-est schools, that's a new word I just made up.
Thank you.
At those schools, I do think, you know, they have harder decisions because they get all the best applicants in the world. So they're looking at you with your 4.5 and other people also with their 4.5. And at those top schools, you know, they're looking at people who applied with their 174. You need a 174 at those schools in order to get yourself into the conversation. I mean, if we're talking about Yale. And then just with the character and fitness thing at that point, like, who knows what they're deciding on? And something like that could swing it, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Especially if you're looking at someone with similar numbers. Although, Tom, you have an excellent GPA. If you get an excellent score on record, you're, of course, going to be impossible to ignore. So they're going to have to grapple with it. And the way I would address this is I would give this explanation, which is short and sweet. Well done, by the way. You have taken our advice on that topic. Yep. A lot of people don't. And I would write a personal statement about work you've done in the last year that makes it very clear that you're a grown-up professional. It's going to make this thing look like something from your youth a long time ago, and it's just going to be easier for them to dismiss. Paint that picture of you working in a professional office, working your ass off, doing some good shit. They're going to see you as an adult, and that's going to make the 2011 conviction look like something that happened when you were even younger. That's what we want.
I agree completely. I would also advise Tom to call his state bar and just talk to them about the DUI and the marijuana charge, to ask them if there's anything that he needs to do in order to, like, rehabilitate that DUI. I assume that you've got your license back in full standing and that you did all of the court required things, but that's probably what they're going to tell you is, like, well, what did the court say? What did you have to do? Did you do all of those things? But I would ask about both of those things. You might also ask whether you need to even disclose. Well, yeah, that arrest. If a school asks you whether you were arrested, I think you have to say yes.
Yep.
But if they ask you whether you were charged.
Convicted. Yeah.
Well, were you charged? Ultimately, the charges were dropped, but were the charges ever filed? Huh. Were you ever charged? You might not have been. They might have just arrested you and then decided to let you go without charging you.
Yeah, this is what legal work is all about. What mm-hmm. the hell happened exactly? Mm-hmm. And you answer that question exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lie, but you do exactly what you're required to do and nothing more.
Right. Definitely don't add a bunch of shit. Okay. I'm happy.
Yep. Thank you. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.